Well, that was fun. Did you see any difference with Thursday Night Football? Was there any difference with the broadcast being on Amazon Prime other than you had to look for a different source on your TV or your computer? I actually would have been watching on my laptop like I've been watching on Amazon Prime for a couple years with my laptop had it not been for the new TV that I purchased. Boy, do I like it. Whew. I was fine with my old TV, the one that was 32 inches and high def. I had no problems with it. It wasn't a smart TV, and it was probably 15 years old, but it was still a really great picture. Really nice picture, and I'm a bit of a high def snob. But having a smart TV has changed my viewing habits. I never thought I'd say this, but I watch more streaming than I do actual TV. I can't get rid of TV because there are too many sporting events and other elements to cable TV that I need in my life. But I do really like the streaming option. The only thing I don't love, and it's probably my TV, maybe it's my remote, whatever, but it's not as easy to fast forward and rewind. It's a little bit awkward on my particular TV with Amazon Prime and really the other streaming. I have Paramount Plus as well, which is CBS. So I didn't have any major challenges or issues other than that. I do generally skip commercials. I don't watch a lot of commercials. And a lot of times I'll be flipping channels during commercials when I'm watching something on broadcast TV. Or I will have a game on my DVR and I'll be about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes behind so I can skip commercials. There is an option to record on Amazon Prime, which I thought was interesting. I have no idea how that works. But I did see that you could record the game instead of watching it live. And so I'll get used to it. But the picture itself was dynamic. And I thought Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit and Kaylee Hartung did a good job. I didn't watch a whole lot of the pregame only because I was busy doing other stuff to get ready for work tonight. But I thought the picture was glorious. I thought Thursday Night Football on Prime at Arrowhead Stadium was absolutely beautiful. It was just pretty. The atmosphere is just pretty with all that red and all the people decked out at Arrowhead. And, of course, the excitement of the Chiefs first coming on the field, considering how they played last week. Now, this, a stiffer test, expected to be a stiffer test, and it lived up to the billing. So here, even as we usher in week two and the weekend on After Hours, producer Jay and I were talking about the game of the week and which games we think qualify for our second weekly poll. And honestly, this might have been the game of the week. Now, we won't know until after the entire week two schedule is completed, and that includes a doubleheader on Monday. But this was one heck of a battle at Arrowhead Stadium. And even though the Chargers end up losing, they're 1-1, the Chiefs are 2-0, no doubt these two of the AFC West and of the conference as a whole are the powers that a lot of people expected them to be and that they would look like on paper. One thing's for sure, the Chargers' defense is much improved. It's a lot better. It's tougher. It's more physical. It's one that will pressure at the line and will get through. Khalil Mack had another half sack, so he's already at 3.5 on the season, and he's played 2 games inside his own division. So this may very well have been the game of the week, though I expect that the NFL will have some other surprises for us as we head towards Sunday and then to the Monday night doubleheader. So what did you think of Amazon Prime and Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime? You can't hit the back button. Well, you can, but you'll get out of the app. You can't hit the back button to go to another channel and try something different. I just had the app on the whole time. So again, it keeps me from needing or finding that instant gratification by constantly changing channels. That I can't do. So that was an adjustment, but I still have my laptop and I was busy taking notes for the show anyway. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Not only will we soon throw up the Game of the Week poll, After Hours Game of the Week, what is it? But I'd love to hear your reaction to the new Thursday Night Football on Prime after seeing it tonight. Like I said, there was some humorous reaction. But I think Al Michaels brings instant credibility. Kirk Herbstreit, whether or not you think he can only or should only be talking about college football, I guess that it can be jarring at first. But it's no different than, say, a former NFL athlete or former NBA star becoming a talk show host and learning how to navigate other sports, right? It's no different than people who think women shouldn't be talking about football and eventually they just get used to it. Kirk Herbstreit knows football. He knows football. He had a cup of coffee in the NFL, but he's been around football. And think about this. If you believe that he should only be talking about college, do you know the number of athletes that he's seen and talked about in college football that are now playing in the NFL? Kirk has seen them over the course of years and years now. So he's automatically familiar with some of the best former college players who have gone on to pro careers. I actually think that gives him a leg up. And I liked the vibe between Al and Kirk. It wasn't, in your face. It was relatively laid back. I thought that was cool. I didn't have any issues with the two of them. I don't know much about Kaylee, but she's the sideline reporter. Did a good job reporting on injuries. And then, if I can remember correctly, some really big names and high-profile members of the pre and post game show. So Carissa Thompson, obviously, she's worked in the NFL and in sports for years. But Tony Gonzalez, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who let's hope has a Hawaiian shirt to go with his coat for every single week of TNF. Andrew Whitworth, offensive lineman for the Super Bowl champion Rams, who's got a new gig. And then Richard Sherman. And so you're talking about three offensive players, one defensive player, all of them with unique career arcs, multiple champions in there. I think it's a good mix. And as I say, I didn't spend a whole lot of time watching the pre. I didn't watch the post at all. But you've got some knowledgeable, recognizable members, and the big names alone give TNF, give Amazon Prime instant credibility. I was trying to explain to my mom the amount of money that Amazon is shelling out for these broadcasts. Forget the, well, you can't really forget it. Taking into account the billions of dollars that Amazon bid for the rights, the exclusive rights to Thursday Night Football outside of the local market. So in the local markets, you can watch on your regular network TV. So in Los Angeles and Kansas City, the game was also available on local TV. But outside of those two markets, the only place you can see the game is on Amazon Prime, whether a smart TV or an app. And the billions of dollars that it costs to get the rights is only part of the expense. Think about the money they're paying to these athletes and broadcasters. Cray. And yet it's Amazon. So they've got truckloads of money that they can throw at the NFL. And I dare say it won't be the last professional sporting event or even major team sporting event or league that finds a permanent home on streaming. It is definitely the way of the future, quote unquote. It's back to the future. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our Game of the Week poll is up, and we wrestled with this one a little bit because there's some odd matchups. There's definitely intrigue everywhere you look. As we had talked about on our last show, when teams go 2-0, they're 75 to 80% of the time also into the NFL playoffs. I know it's September, too early to be talking about the playoffs, but my point is how you start is important. Last year, none of the teams that began the season 0-2 made the postseason. So it is important. And we've got a couple early divisional matchups, one in which not only is it the oldest rivalry in sports, but one that I will be seeing in person, firsthand, for the first time ever at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Bears and Packers. And if you missed my conversation with Leroy Butler, the Hall of Famer who spent his entire career in Green Bay, he gave me a taste of what to expect with Bears and Packers on Sunday Night Football under the lights. Actually, it's weird. I've been so crazy busy this week trying to get acclimated to the schedule and then some other personal, we'll call them challenges, just different things in life. 45 years old, man, I got a lot of bleep going on. It's just been one of those weeks. And so I really haven't had a chance to think about the game on Sunday night, and it's not the reason I'm going to Wisconsin. It just happens to be taking place at the same time, so I'm going to do my shows from Green Bay, but I'm sure it's going to be electric, and I'm sure the atmosphere at Lambeau will blow me away. I've only ever been there before for a preseason game, which was pretty special. So find us on Twitter or Facebook or both. I suppose if you want to cast two votes, you can. If you haven't yet made your pick for Survivor Island, you better. Because if you don't make your pick in time and you don't save your pick, well, you are automatically eliminated. And I don't know how many. I didn't go back and look. I don't know how many people just didn't make their picks last week. But more than 350 people on my island, the island I'm on, I think it's Isla Nublar, more than 350 of you were eliminated already. I'm going to say a good chunk of those probably didn't make their picks. One guy didn't know how to get back to Survivor Island. It's the link is on our Twitter and Facebook, so you just have to scroll through and find it if that's the only way. But if you go to CBSSports.com, you'll see the fantasy menu, and it's there on the fantasy drop-down menu. So week two kicking off on Amazon Prime in Kansas City, home opener for the Chiefs, and yet it was the Chargers who were able to grab the early lead. They were up 10-7 at halftime, but the one touchdown that the Chiefs managed before the break, wow, it was a jaw-dropping moment. Once again, Patrick Mahomes.
Juju Smith-Schuster trots in motion. Mahomes will throw it. Looking left, now spins to his right. He is going to pump fake it, trying to get to the outside. Now fires it. Sidearm caught and into the end zone. McKinnon, touchdown! Kansas City on a 9-yard touchdown. Improvisation, and the Chiefs are 7 of 7 in the red zone in 2022.
That is Patrick Mahomes. He's so creative. And Mitch Holthus on Chiefs Radio describes it so perfectly. Improvisation. That's what he does. He's an improv artist. No two plays are the same. Don't you hear that a lot about, well, humans? No two humans are the same. No two clouds are the same. No two Patrick Mahomes scramble plays are the same. Because he can extend plays. He has almost a sixth sense, and it's clearly developed by experience and his field vision. But he knows where the pressure's coming from. He can sidestep. He can step up. Not only can he elude by moving around, but he's got this impeccable sense of timing. So creative. And then when he's on the move, he's got about 17 different arm angles from which he can deliver the football. This one looked more like a shortstop throwing to second base to get the force play. He's kind of shoveled it underneath and through to Jerick McKinnon. Crazy stuff.
Mahomes magic.
Yeah, for sure. So his improv brings the Chiefs within three at the half. And he actually was 12 of 14 in the first half, but only 98 yards. Crazy enough, by the time the Chargers scored to begin the third quarter, one guy, just one guy, had more passing slash receiving yards than the entire Chiefs offense.
Opening drive of this third quarter. Shotgun, Herbert, pump, throw, lofts it right side, juggling attempt, Mike Williams, touchdown! Fantastic grab! 15 yards, Williams slides down, hauls it in, and the Chargers add to their lead.
Ian Eagle on Westwood One. Mike Williams was using all of his available body parts for that acrobatic catch. He first gets his right hand on it as he's twisting and falling toward the right end line. And then, I'm watching it even now, it's being shown up on NFL Network. Then he pulls it toward his body, continues to twist, and the first thing that hits the deck, his right butt cheek. Are you allowed to say butt cheek on Amazon Prime? Or do we have to stick with rear end? Or maybe because it's streaming, you can say a double curvy roads.
I believe he said buttocks at the time.
Okay. So one cheek down equals 2 feet, right? Isn't that the rule? This was acrobatic, and it was delicious. It was Mike Williams at his finest. And at that point, he already had more receiving yards than the Chiefs had passing yards. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the opening act of the second half is Mike Williams. The 15-yard touchdown grab put the Chargers up by double figures again. But the next three scores are Kansas City. A 41-yard bomb of Patrick Mahomes. He never looks like he's throwing it hard. He just kind of flicks it, and it goes 41 yards perfectly to Justin Watson. Then they have a field goal drive that takes them into the fourth quarter. It's a tie game when the Chargers get the ball back and get deep into Chiefs territory.
Chargers go without a huddle again. Right side, try intercepted on the left side. Picked off at the goal line, at the 25-yard line. Picked off by Watson. Watson could go all the way. The seventh round pick, 20, 15, 10, 5. Jalen Watson cooking hamburgers in Augusta, Georgia. Then he went to Wazoo, and now he gets a 100-yard pick six for a touchdown. Kansas City at 10:29 to go in the game.
Mitch Holtis is clapping for emphasis in the background. It's fantastic. Jalen Watson, welcome to the NFL, rookie. This was one heck of a play. Great anticipation. The receiver goes outside. He steps inside and boom, has an angle and he gone. Good speed. Was able to thread through a few Chargers. But honestly, it was such a stunner that he was behind the, you wouldn't really call it the second line of the defense, but you get my drift. He was already past the second wave of Chargers before they really knew what was happening. And so that pick six, 99-yard variety, gives the Chiefs a 24-17 lead. They're able to tack on a field goal drive with 4 minutes to go, and honestly, that turned out to be the edge they needed because Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they just keep coming. And this is despite the fact that Herbert was banged up and feeling pain.
Chiefs showing blitz. They rush four. Herbert under pressure has Everett. And he's got the right sideline, 30 to the 34-yard line. And a new set of downs. And Herbert is slow to get up. And he is really slow to get up, holding his rib cage. He is grabbing his left leg and his rib cage. And you don't ever see that with Justin Herbert.
Not to mention the fact that he spent some time talking to team trainers, and then he was grimacing the rest of the way. He really was. he a couple of times couldn't extend fully to throw the football. And yet somehow, whether these are bruised ribs, whether these are cracked ribs, I hope that's not the case. He was clearly in agony. And yet, on fourth down, on their final possession, he takes this deep shot into the red zone and connects with his receiver. And that gives the Chargers another look at the end zone.
Shotgun snap. Can they keep this game going to the end zone? Caught, touchdown, Josh Palmer. Herbert continues to do the incredible.
I don't know how he's walking, much less throwing dimes.
Gah!
And touchdown passes to keep their hopes alive.
1:11 to go in the game. Hopkins tries the onside kick. No, it's loose, but the Chiefs, I think, may have it on the second attempt. It might be Noah Gray slipping in to pick it up. The Chiefs had it. It squirted out. And Noah Gray recovers it for Kansas City on an onside kick try. And the Chiefs, after trading in this game 10-0 and 17-7, are going to get a huge, huge, huge AFC West victory on a Thursday night to open up the 50th season of GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. What a comeback by the Chiefs.
Twice down by double figures. Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Matt Smith is the play-by-play voice of the Chargers. So a banged up and bruised, clearly in pain, Justin Herbert, able to finish the game, but ultimately the Chiefs had too much firepower and too many opportunities in the second half. And then, my goodness, as I said after week number one, the reports of the Chiefs' demise greatly exaggerated. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your reaction to the Thursday Night Football debut on Amazon Prime? Seeing some of you come back with your responses. And our Game of the Week poll is up. Producer Jay pulled a fast one on me. I thought we were going with a particular group of games. He changed one of them, but we did have a healthy debate about it beforehand. So, yeah, this is tough. There's a couple of divisional games. There's AFC drama. So check it out on either Twitter or our Facebook page, and we'll get the post-game reaction from Kansas City, both the Chiefs, who are now 2-0, and the Chargers in a hard-fought loss. They really pushed the Chiefs to the brink. Thanks for hanging out with us. Our final show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Snap to the face mask of Mahomes. Furious rush. Mahomes throws it. Ladies, got Justin Watson. Catch in the end zone. Touchdown. Kansas City burning J.C. Jackson. Justin Watson gets free, and Mahomes finds him for a 41-yard touchdown pass. Chargers go without a huddle again. Right side, down, intercepted on the left side. Picked off at the goal line, at the 25-yard line. Picked off by Watson. Watson could go all the way. The seventh-round pick, 20, 15, 10, 5. Jalen Watson cooking hamburgers in Augusta, Georgia. Then he went to Wazoo, and now he gets a 100-yard pick six for a touchdown. Kansas City at 10:29 to go in the game.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch Holtis, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and wow. They have a variety of ways they can beat you, but what was the knock on them last year, and really the year before too, is that their defense wasn't consistently holding up its end of the bargain. Now, we saw after the Chiefs fell into a below 500 hole in the first, 2 months of last season, that the defense did start to play really well. It did become a force, but they have added some really impressive young talent, though this is kind of fun. One of those football rags to riches stories. Jalen Watson, the rookie cornerback who went 99 yards with the interception off Justin Herbert was drafted in the 7th round. We're not talking about a young man who was a 1st rounder or a 2nd rounder. Nah, we're talking about a 7th rounder that worked hard to find his spot on this Chiefs roster.
He had a good camp. You know, you saw him progressively get better during camp. He played, obviously, at a high level in college. So, I mean, the pack there. So he's played against good competition. I think it was probably, Adam, most of all, just his progress that he made in camp. Good size, can run. You know, you saw that after the interception. That was beautiful.
We knew they liked to throw switch routes in a high red. So me and Justin, we worked together. The ball just ended up in my chest, and I took it home. It was a surreal feeling. Just so grateful and blessed to be in this position. And I didn't even know what to do when I got in the end zone. That's why everyone seen me just standing there. But it's a moment I'll never forget.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie. I didn't even know what to do when I got into the end zone. I just kind of stood there, except when he was going across the goal line. So it was clear that with about 25 yards to go, he was going all in by himself and there was no one around him. But he holds the ball out and he does a kind of a skippy motion with his feet. And I'm thinking, no, don't do that. Just get across the goal line. Anyway, good for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for Patrick Mahomes, not even 100 yards in the first half. Only had only 235 yards for the game. He does have a couple of touchdowns. He takes the one sack, half of that belonging to Khalil Mack. And so even though we didn't see the same explosiveness that we saw in the desert, obviously there's a lot that you can take away from this game. And still, when they lock in, it's phenomenal what that offense is capable of. Sorry, Tyreek Hill.
Justin Watson came in when McColl was a little banged up, and he got McColl's route, and he won against a Pro Bowl All-Pro corner. For guys like that to make their imprint on the game, that'll help us out as we get into these tough games like this, that we can get touchdowns and stuff like that from everybody. Pretty much the first half, we were trying to protect, get the ball out fast and do stuff like that. I just felt in the second half, we trusted in our O-line. We gave them a few chips, a few receivers hitting tight ends, kind of doing stuff to help them out. I thought they did a great job of giving me that time, enough time to make those throws. But that's a great defense, and I thought we battled and found a way to get the win. The defense kept us in the game. The offense, we didn't play our best football. And I think the defense, that was huge for them to keep us in that game, make some plays, get points on the board. And then just give us a chance. And I think with a young defense like that, to see that this early in the season, I think that's going to carry us the rest of the way.
Whatever you thought of the Kansas City Chiefs, if it wasn't they're the team to beat in 2022 in the AFC West, you may want to recalibrate your expectations about this division and this conference. Now, the Chargers will be a tough out. These are not your daddy's Chargers, though there are still people who every time they lose will make jokes about how God hates the Los Angeles Chargers. That's just not true. Brandon Staley, new coach, changing the culture, teaching them how to win, yada, yada, yada. They do have 401 yards of offense and go 3-for-5 in the red zone, but obviously had the one very gaudy turnover.
I like the way our guys competed, and when you get chances against that team, you got to make sure that you capitalize. And we had some opportunities tonight, and we didn't finish them.
We'll get an update on Justin Herbert and his, let's hope they aren't cracked ribs, but his health, because he was clearly in pain as they went through the final stages of this game. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've got our Game of the Week poll that's already up and taking your votes. So stuff the ballot box and then Facebook page too. Marco Belletti is here in studio. Have I asked you this? Do you do survivor pools?
I have in the past. I didn't do one this year.
All right, so help us because, first of all, Jay and I are in one together, so maybe we'll let you be the deciding vote if we can't decide. But I survived. So on Survivor Island, which is our After Hours Survivor archipelago, we have multiple islands. I am still alive. Jay's already been fed to the sharks. Oh, wait, you're still alive?
I'm still alive on Survivor Island.
Oh, you went Baltimore on Survivor Island?
Correct.
Okay. You lost in your friend pool.
Correct. I picked the Colts in that other one.
So fine. He's not swimming with the Sharks.
Two Ravens, one Colts.
But he did lose going with the Colts in one of his. I only meant two. But one of them we're doing together, which means we have to agree, Marco. So you can maybe help us.
You want me to be the deciding
vote?
Sure.
Somebody's got to be.
I can yell that. All right, no problem.
We both respect you. So, Jay, what are you thinking for week number two, Survivor Island?
All week, I've just been leading Bengals over Dallas. Dak Prescott's out. I don't think Cooper Rush is going to be able to put up enough points to beat the Bengals. That's just where my heart wants to go.
So you're not at all worried about, because the Dallas defense has got some teeth.
Yeah.
And they'll put pressure. Micah Parsons had two sacks last week. By the way, he was tweeting up a storm about Thursday Night Football, which is funny, talking about Mike Williams as a cheat code and all that jazz. Anyway, I'm worried because Burrow, we know what Cincinnati is as an offense. We know what they can do. But Burrow got sacked, seven times last week by the Steelers and also turned the ball over five times. So if that's the case, I get it. Cooper Rush is not Dak Prescott, but I'm a little bit worried about the Dallas defense making life physical and difficult on Burrow.
Parsons could have a day. That's definitely could happen.
Day.
but I just think even 10-0, 13-7 is enough to beat the Cowboys. I don't see Cooper Rush putting up more than 160 yards and a touchdown.
No faith in Zeke or...
No, I really don't. I think they'll just stuff the box and make Cooper force him to throw the ball, and I don't think that's a good recipe for success for the Cowboys.
I don't know if I'm comfortable. How about Rams over Falcons?
I that one's okay. I just don't like it as much as I like Bengals over Cowboys.
How about Browns over Jets?
I like anyone against the Jets.
Okay.
I mean, that's a fair place to start.
Okay.
Again, I don't know why. I just don't like it as much as Bengals over Cowboys.
Okay. Buffalo, Tennessee.
I definitely like Buffalo in this one.
That's one of our games of the week. Marco just made a really crazy face. So of the ones we brought up, Marco, which way would you lean?
Probably I would be leaning with Jay on the Bengals or the Browns over the Jets. The Rams and Falcons is a good one. Falcons are a bit of a pain in the ass. I don't really know what to make of them because they don't know what to make of themselves.
Right.
I really wouldn't mess with the Titans and the Bills.
No.
Me personally, yeah.
Even though it's in Orchard Park?
Is Buffalo a better team? 100%. You're going to get a very angry Tennessee team who's also really good at playing games right down to the last 3 minutes. Do you really want to sweat knowing automatically that you're going into the Survivor game having to sweat it out in the last 5 minutes? Personally, I'd like to avoid the agita.
Why do you keep making me pick road teams? I don't like picking road teams.
True. How about the Lions?
The Lions? What? The Lions?
Did you see the stat on the Lions this weekend?
I did not.
So for the first time in 24 weeks, the last 24 games, they've been the underdog, and now they're the betting favorite over the Commanders for the first time in 24 weeks. I don't know. Should we ride with Vegas on that one?
No. No. I've never bet on the Lions before, and I don't think I'm going to start yet. Maybe by the end of the year, but...
Your compromise, if you don't want to be on a road team, would probably be the Browns, no?
Right. So I was thinking Browns, Jets. It's just the Jets will eventually win a game. And we know that's going to be the case. They have Flacco this week, though. So
that's the problem. That pass, Myles Garrett is going to be in Flacco's face and he can't move. That's the biggest issue for the Jets. Their offense right now is so bogged down, their inability to score points, their defense isn't that bad. And the Browns are still with Jacoby Brissett, so it's not going to be a runaway. I just have a hard time believing that Joe Flacco is going to put up points when he needs to.
The other option would be the Packers with the Bears, because the Packers are, as Marco talks about, you know, another team here, going to be so angry, and they're home, and it's alumni weekend, and it's Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder.
They've owned the Bears for
eight of the last nine.
Yeah.
The division game scares me, though. Okay. That's where I thought the Colts were going to destroy the Texans last week in that in-division game. They always get up. The other team always gets up to play.
Okay, so we're down to Bengals or Browns. Riding with the AFC North we are, because I picked Baltimore last week. So we picked Baltimore last week.
I could be persuaded to take the Browns. I like that.
Okay.
I mean, Myles Garrett hitting Joe Flacco, I think, is definitely going to happen. So
yes. All right. Well, let's...
I'll give you a nugget for the Jets to make you feel a little bit better.
Okay.
Do you realize the last time the Jets won a game in September?
No.
The Monday night game, Sam Darnold's debut in 2018.
Really?
That was the last time the Jets won a game in September.
They stink in September.
It's September.
It's September smelly.
That's 4 years ago.
Smelly September. Yeah.
That was when everybody thought Darnold. I think it was 5 touchdowns.
The Browns just won their season opener for the first time since 2004. These things happen. Browns are going to go 2-0. That's what we're banking on. We're banking on the Browns going 2-0.
I said who my gut choice is.
Okay. Oh, heavens. Okay. I got to process. I got to think about it.
Like I said, to me, those are probably the two that you would, I guess, be able to compromise on. I would probably lean with Jay and go with the Bengals. But then again, I also would have went with the Colts last week. So take that for what it's worth.
Don't.
And I wound up with a tie.
Colts got the Jaguars this week, and we're not even looking at that one.
We're not.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chiefs showing blitz. They rush four. Herbert under pressure has Everett. And he's got the right sideline, 30 to the 34-yard line, and a new set of downs. And Herbert is slow to get up. And he is really slow to get up, holding his rib cage. He is grabbing his left leg and his rib cage. And you don't ever see that with Justin Herbert. Shotgun snap. Can they keep this game going to the end zone? Caught, touchdown, Josh Palmer. Herbert continues to do the incredible.
I don't know how he's walking, much less throwing dimes and touchdown passes to keep their hopes alive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A painful fourth quarter for Justin Herbert. Of course, the pick six that goes 99 yards, the only turnover of the game, which really changed the course of the second half, but also a hard hit that landed him down on his back and clearly affected him the rest of the way. So even though he was able to convert a pair of fourth downs on the final,